And this is Kevin Durant.
Hey, Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth.
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Dunk.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. This is episode 356. We are a part of DailyThunder.com and also Almighty Baller Radio. And with that, we are on Dash Radio. So if you're listening to us on Dash for the first time, we are an Oklahoma City Thunder show. We talk primarily about the Thunder, and that means that we talk about Russell Westbrook. So welcome if you're a first-time listener, and also welcome to the show, Taylor Dickerson and John Hamm.
Greetings. Glad that you're here. We are trying. We have a new soundboard. We have live drops that we're trying. So if things don't go just awesome today, that's why. And if it's a little bit shorter, that's why, because we've been trying to do things for a while here this morning. So let's get right into it. The exit interviews have happened. The Thunder season is over. Did you guys take anything away from those exit interviews?
Oh, I didn't sit and watch them all. I don't know what to think anymore. I think we're still somewhat burned by Durant's decision last year.
Sure.
So you want to take Russell Westbrook at his word? When he says that he hasn't even thought about the extension, you know, whatever. Yeah. But when he talks
who's
about
buying that,
right? When he talks about, you know, I like it in OKC. People know I love it here.
Yeah.
You want to believe that, and you want to put a lot into it, and maybe there's good reason to. But everything else, I mean, yeah, Nick Collison, if he comes back, that's wonderful. But everything else kind of hinges on Russ.
Everything really hinges on Russ. This team would be, I mean, where would they be? I mean, even if they traded him, what are they getting back? Maybe, let's say they get Markelle Fultz and Avery Bradley or Markelle Fultz and whatever else. They're bad. Like, this is a really bad team.
Oh, it's 2007. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about like the Seattle year.
Yeah.
Bad.
Right. Yeah. Wally Szczerbiak, Delonte West,
right.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, beyond that, I don't think there was anything that interesting. Andre and Taj said they wanted to come back, but everybody always says they want to come back. If you listen to the exit interviews from last year, it will break your heart.
Why? Because who said something? I don't remember.
I mean, Serge Ibaka. Where? Where's he going?
Where he gonna go?
Where's he gonna go? Where's he gonna go?
Well, that's right.
Serge, you're going. You're going somewhere first, Serge.
Get out of here, Serge.
Get out of here.
You're going twice next year.
There was the year that Caron Butler just skipped the exit interviews completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that, and I mean, that was very telling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Let's do some final thoughts from the season overall. What's your big takeaway from this season now that it's over, Taylor?
That we as Thunder fans can't enjoy things. For real,
your big takeaway.
I don't know. What's yours, John? I'm sad.
You're sad?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I thought we would lose in the first round.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, that was such a great season. And there was some of that too. But now there's like just anxiety about the offseason and what happens and like what next season looks like.
Oh. Okay.
Immediately.
Let's move on to John.
That night it happened.
I mean, I think a lot of that is because, I mean, a lot of people are looking at how some of the players performed in the playoffs and are assuming that Enes Kanter is now a 3 minute per game NBA player. Stephen Adams is a bust. Victor Oladipo is a bust. I mean, a lot of people are kind of, that's their last impression at this point.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why you're seeing a lot of anxiety there. I mean, if everyone had played to like their peak potential and Billy Donovan had pushed all the right buttons, maybe they pull off the series. But yeah, I mean, you know, Taylor, you said it. This season ended right where I think everyone reasonably expected it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
There was a chance, you know, maybe you could get by Houston and then maybe you match up well with San Antonio and, you know, but that was a long shot.
Right.
So, the big takeaway is that, the team is not cratered. Go back and look at the 2010 Cleveland Cavaliers, the 2014 Miami Heat. You know, typically whenever a player of Kevin Durant's stature leaves, it is a long rebuilding process. So sometimes teams never make it back.
Mm-hmm.
And so despite what you might think about some of the young talent, it is young talent. There is room to grow. It can get better. And yeah, there's a lot of work to do this offseason.
And I think like we might expect to see Presti do things that we're not expecting him that we haven't seen him do in the past, like going after free agents a little harder and like maybe making more moves draft day or, you know, trying if he can get Russ to sign that extension, he's just going to be like bees to the walls.
He's got
for the next like 4 years.
He's got,
you know,
he's got some work to do. He needs to find a three. He's got to find a three. I think ideally the team would find a three, move Dre to the two, and then Oladipo to the bench. I think that they want to do that. If it's Gallinari, if it's Wilson Chandler, won't be Rudy Gay. If it's any of those, like one of those guys, I think the Thunder would do that. And I think that it would really help. I think that they would like to move in as Cantor and get something back of value. Will they be able to do that? I don't know.
But people thought they couldn't get anything of value from campaign.
That's true. Yeah. It's absolutely true.
And then you think back to last season, like, God, who's going to want Serge Ibaka?
Yeah. No.
Presti has a way of leveraging.
He does.
I think what we saw now that, you know, a lot of reports have come out, he really leveraged Toronto and Orlando against each other.
Yeah, that's true.
And wound up getting Orlando to desperately push a bunch of chips to the table that they couldn't pass up. Mm-hmm. So you never know.
Yeah, you don't know.
It could be like Jeremy Lamb for a second round pick when all said and done. But who knows? Maybe he's able to actually leverage something out.
And at that point, I don't think that they let him go, right? If it's just a loss, the Thunder can't afford to have like a big talent loss at this point, right?
Right. But I could also see, I mean, this is, just for example, what if there's a trade involving Enes Kanter that ships out and it's a multi-team trade that also brings back, say, like Jahlil Okafor?
Yeah.
You know, like a younger guy to replace that role that has a lot of flaws in his game that the team thinks they can fix.
Upside down ears.
Yeah.
He does have upside down ears.
You can't fix them.
And so, I mean, I'm just kind of speculating there. I mean, you talked about getting a wing. I mean, free agency is what a lot of people are, you know, they think a big free agency splash is needed for this team to go anywhere. And
they're going to be very disappointed because the Thunder I think they could get a free agent point guard like a Darren Collison or somebody like that.
Right.
I think like something like that's possible. But if you're like, man, have you seen Gordon Hayward? Have you seen what he's been doing? Man, just stop. Do yourself a favor and stop thinking about Gordon Hayward like today.
So here's my question, though. If we're going to be, you know, a 4 or 5 year contender again, like we were, right? Starting next year, the year after, at some point you do have to get a player like that with Russ too. You can't just keep having Russ and then like, Steve.
Yeah, but there's no possibility cap wise to make that happen, and then also have a good team around him. Mm-hmm. It's just actually impossible.
And so one name that I've thrown out to you guys that I've looked at that I don't think is completely impossible is a guy like Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah,
I think if you look at Minnesota and you look what they're going up against over the next several years, I mean, first of all, their team seems to be better when Zach LaVine is like the second option.
Yeah.
That's not to say that, you know, Wiggins is terrible. It might just be a weird fit, and he could be commanding $20+ million, and the Wolves could be looking at this going, I don't know. I think we might need help elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm just saying something like that I don't think is out of the realm of possibility, and that's the sort of guy that is not a star now, but maybe you could trade for a guy like that, and you know, he actually fits in. That's just one name. I mean, we go over and think about guys over the years that were throw-ins. You know, Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
Thrown into a trade that turned out to be really good. Jay Crowder. I mean, those guys are out there. They're not They're not all stars right now, but there are really good players that if you put them in the right opportunity, that they could really blossom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Will Barton.
Will Barton?
I mean, there's guys. And Will Barton could be a guy that could be had. Okay, our last edition of the season of I'm Smarter Than Billy Dee. Was there anything in the series that you think would have changed the outcome if you would have done something in the series? What would have the change have been?
I think just going ahead and making Victor Oladipo the primary ball handler with the second unit from game two.
Yeah. Also, how about not playing Kyle Singler at all and giving those minutes to Doug McDermott from day one?
It really sucks that he took two full games to figure out what his playoff rotation was going to be. You know?
Is it that hard to figure out that Doug McDermott's better than Kyle Singler? Is it really that hard? Like, I don't get it. Like, why do you have to explore that? And why do you have to explore that in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I have a theory, too. That the can't play Cantor might have affected Enes Kanter.
Yeah. And then how confusing is it that he says that and then he does play you kind of.
Right. Yeah.
and then Kanter like just stops passing completely.
Yeah.
Every time Kanter got the ball, he was going up.
He hasn't passed the ball since February.
Yes. No. It's about the time he broke his arm, right?
Yeah.
Like he came back and he just, all that passing ability seemed to go away.
Yeah.
Was lost in the fracture. I think there's.
Lost in the Fracture is a really good band name.
I was going to say, that's John Hamm's new band name. Lost in the Fracture.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, my goodness.
It's a possible podcast name, too.
Lost in the Fracture.
That's true.
Lost in the Fracture, you're going to only cover Stained songs.
By the way, he is a country singer now.
What?
The Stain singer? Like a popular country singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like on radio.
His name is Luke Bryan.
Yeah. Darius Rucker, right?
Yeah. What were you saying, John? We talked about Stained.
I'm Googling Stained right now. I have no idea.
His name's Aaron. I don't know. It's Aaron something.
Aaron Lewis.
Yeah. And he's like on country radio now. Isn't that crazy?
That makes my Friday so much better.
Conway Twitty is just rolling over in his grave right now. Jeez. Yeah, okay, yeah. I've heard of the guy. I'm not a big country music fan.
What was Lost in the Fracture?
The first track on my album is going to be Passing Ability.
That's right.
Passing Ability.
Okay, yeah. There we go. Passing Ability. I forgot. Anything else that makes you smarter than Billy Dee?
I don't know.
I think those are the key things.
Those are it.
Don't play those awful backup point guards. Just play McDermott from the beginning. And really just play eight guys.
Yeah.
Right? You just play those. You play the starting lineup. You play Taj Gibson more, right? That's another thing.
Why did he go back to giving Taj less minutes?
Who knows?
That was kind of surprising to me because you finally play him over 30 minutes and it works really well and you do really well with it.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't play as much again the next game.
I mean, people pointed out how when Russ went off the court, obviously the offense had issues, but it was the defense.
Yeah.
That really took a dive.
Oh, man.
Because Enes Kanter was coming in.
Yes.
During those minutes when Harden was off the court and, you know, the Rockets just attacked him relentlessly. If we could go back and make that just a three-man big rotation.
Yeah.
Adams, Grant, and Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the story of Enes Kanter's postseason. He had an offensive rating of 92 and a defensive rating of 115.
Oh, no.
That's a net negative, right?
In 45 minutes. Yeah, it was bad. He was terrible.
Yeah, I'm really glad Bill Simmons thought that's what our problem was not playing Kanter more.
Don't even give Bill the pleasure of being mentioned on our podcast.
I have to doo-doo on that man. I'm so mad at him right now.
If you ever wonder, like, does this guy actually watch the games? Yeah. Just look for tweets like that.
Read his tweets. You'll find out.
Why do you even tweet it? Like, he obviously didn't watch the series, right? So why even tweet anything about it?
He's the leader of the OKC hate party.
Yeah.
And he has been for a long time. And he takes great pleasure in it for some reason.
Yeah.
But you know what's the exact opposite of Bill Simmons?
What?
Anthem Brewing Company.
Mm.
You should go get yourself an Anthem tonight. It's Friday. Let loose a little bit. Get yourself an Arjuna.
hey, it is the springtime.
It's really good. It's a Belgian style wit. It's an ale brewed with spices.
It's pronounced wit.
Wit. I should
know. It's really good, though.
It is great.
Make sure it's extra cold.
Golden One is really good. Their IPA is great. It's really my favorite IPA. And then the Ouroboros Stout is also great. You should go check out their tap room tonight. They have live music tonight from Andy Adams. He's a guitar player and singer. He's really good.
And so, he is opening for Aaron Lewis.
That's right.
Formerly of Stain. Of Stain. It's been a while since
I've gone. On the outside.
Anthem is great. Much better than Stained.
I can much see better through than... you.
I'm sure Anthem's really going to appreciate this ad.
See your true colors.
Anthem brought to you by Stained and the Down to Dunk podcast.
I do want to say, weather's getting better. All those beers are really good. They're Pilsner. No one talks about the Pilsner.
They're Pils, yeah.
It's actually my probably second favorite beer of theirs.
Yeah, it's very good.
The Pilsner is super good. Really light, really refreshing. Still a little bit of juice in there, though. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about alcohol.
That's all right. Go.
So, like, my wife is a... She likes, like, a wheat beer.
Yeah.
And everything else is skunky to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we go out for pizza the other day, and she wants a wheat beer, but they're out. They have a Golden One.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Because I'm getting myself something really hoppy. I got her a Golden One. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. I'll probably get two beers tonight, which is, you know, bonus for me. She enjoyed it. She liked it.
Yeah.
So it works for a lot of people.
You can't go wrong with that Golden One. And that's their most popular beer, yeah, too.
And it's great.
It's great.
Go check out Anthem. Let's move on to our Twitter questions.
Twitter questions.
Our first Twitter question is from @ThatTrueTalk. What are the 5 most important developments you'd like to see in 2017-18? Oladipo a capable PG, Abrinas average D, Sabonis threes,
Westbrook running an offense.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then okay, I again qualifier here.
Hey, that means that you hate Westbrook. You don't like MVPs. You hate triple doubles. Round numbers are out of your wheelhouse.
Russell Westbrook. Had an amazing season. He's going to win the MVP. He did something historic. But for this team to go anywhere beyond where it is, he's going to have to buy into a system of some point other than come set a pick for me while I dribble and chuck up a shot.
Yeah, he is.
I think it all starts
there. It's going to have to change. Also, they've got to get... I don't think Oladipo is the answer for the backup point guard. I'm going
to
go ahead and
say I tend to agree.
I agree.
I think they need to go get somebody, whether it's drafting Juwan Evans, which I would really, really like, whether it's going to get a guy like Darren Collison, who they need a guy that can come off the bench, that can, one, create his own shot, and two, get others involved. And it has to be both.
Yeah.
And those guys exist. It's not like that you can't find those guys. They don't have to be a great defender. They don't. You have Samaj for that, apparently. You don't.
That's one of the 5 things I want to see changed.
What
I want to. Sorry, but Samaj just doesn't. I don't even think he's a 3rd string point guard.
He's not good.
No, I agree. Just don't.
Welcome to the Samaj is not good train. Choo choo.
I mean, this
he
is
sucks.
Not. This is not exactly breaking news.
Yeah, no, he's not good. I think he stays though. I think he stays.
I get it because he's a minimum salary, mm-hmm. you know, inexpensive 3rd string guy, but. I don't know. We talk about all the youth on this team. We talk about the 10 guys, 25 and younger, but I think you can safely exclude him.
I agree. I just think it's more likely that they keep him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's less likely. I think that Hustis could go. I think we have a question about this here in a second, but I think that there's some guys that will not definitely not be on this roster. I think another development, Sabonis, not only his 3-point shooting, but his overall confidence. And his kind of his mentality this year was really interesting because he
don't screw up.
Yeah. He was just so afraid to ruin the moment.
Yeah.
And there was one game, and I'm trying to look for the game log right now, that he was really good.
At Boston,
he was good. At Milwaukee, against Milwaukee, he was good at home.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be comfortable because when he is, he can play really well. Yeah, at Boston, he had 20 points.
That's when he was knocking down threes like crazy.
Yes, he had four threes in that game. He's just got to be confident, and he's got to come back better. And I think that he will. He works really hard. He's got to be better. And I think that I talked about how like losing in his canter, that could be a huge loss. If he can step up and not be the starter, let's say that they bring back Taj, then that loss isn't as massive. Mm-hmm. And he moves the ball. He can post up. He can shoot threes. He can do all those things. He didn't do them very well this season, but he's capable of doing all those things. And so that could like mitigate the loss of Enes Kanter some. But he's just got to come back mentally in a different place.
The fist pumping was not as much at the end of the season as it was at the start of the season.
No. He was so afraid in that Denver game to like shoot those shots.
Oh my gosh.
That were coming from Westbrook.
That's what I was thinking of.
He was just terrified. Yeah. He was yelling at the ball not to go in because he was just so terrified. Yeah. It's like, I can't handle the moment.
No!
Don't
make me do this.
Who was stone cold? Samaj. I got this.
Kristen.
He's like, I got this. Hold on. Give me 10 seconds to wind up my shot.
Goodness. Somehow I'm wide open.
I'm watching the Raptors a little bit last night. And I mean, we talk a lot about Sabonis, and there's a lot of things you can look at. I mean, from a purely statistical standpoint with him, that might not give you a lot of good feelings about him going forward. Right. I mean, some people are going to look at the PER, which some of that is slanted by Russ's usage. And I mean, there are other factors there.
Yeah.
What's his ceiling? I mean, like, what if he tops out like at Patrick Patterson? Is that okay?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Patrick Patterson's good.
He is good. Okay,
but you're seeing like what level of player would we be happy with him at? Because Patrick Patterson is a role player.
Only satisfied with Dirk Nowitzki.
Right. I mean, that's. I think some people kind of maybe because we're always saying like, hey, there's stuff there. There's things that look promising. I mean, what if he does like in 2 years top out as a Patrick Patterson type guy? I think that's
fantastic.
Yeah. That's really good for this team.
That's a guy that can start and come off the bench.
Right.
And you're not terribly disappointed with his production. And if you get that with the 11th pick in the draft, was he 11 or 12?
He was 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 11 years old when he was drafted.
He's 11. Seems like it sometimes.
So, guys, be patient with him. He's young. He's a young man.
That's right. This is from at JPOSU. Rank all OKC players from most likely to least likely to be on the roster on opening night next season.
Number one, Kyle Singler. Number two, Samaj Kristen.
Most likely to be on the roster.
Most likely.
Most likely to be on the roster. So what's he talking? I mean, obviously not like Steve and Vic and whatever.
Who do you think's gonna? I think that we can go ahead and cross some guys off the roster. Okay. Norris Cole,
gone.
Not coming back.
He's gone. I think Josh Huestis is likely gone. If you don't play him, what's the point of having him on your team?
That's what I'm trying to figure
out.
You
wasted a first round pick on him. Just cut your ties and go find someone that could actually play, or just play the guy because I actually think he can play.
Yeah, like I leave that door cracked slightly because maybe this is part of the organization's like, look, you just need 3 years out of college, which some guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys do need, a lot of them go overseas or, go to the minor leagues and work their way up. Maybe they felt like he needed a full 3 years out of Stanford. I don't know. But
yeah,
at this point, if you're asking me, I'd say most likely to be moved.
Is Singler smoking him in practice? Is that what's happening?
I have no idea, man.
I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you.
Like I say, in this season of discovery, I just don't know why they didn't try to discover him. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. He's got a skill set that you would.
Yeah.
He's a shot blocking wing. He can play the three and the four. He can shoot a little bit. He's an athlete.
Can move without the ball.
He's maybe like he's in the top five of all athletes on the team.
He looks really good against a checked out Denver Nuggets team.
And he's got a really cool tattoo like up on his shoulder.
Yeah, he does.
Mm. It's a cool tattoo.
Does it say I'm Matra?
Huh? Yeah, it does. It does.
A lot of people won't get that.
You modeled that after somebody. I think Andre Robertson's going to be re-signed. Steven Adams is not going to be moved. Russ is most likely back. Taj, I'm on the fence about. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's on the fence about it too. Jeremy Grant will be back, and they may extend him this summer, which would be interesting. But for sure, Norris Cole, I think they'll stretch Kyle Singler's contract. And if Nick Collison wants to come back, he gets to do that.
Are you going to take my bet?
What was your bet again?
Okay, my bet was that if Andre Roberson will not accept, if he wants more than 14 a year, that the Thunder don't re-sign him this summer.
I'll take that bet. They're gonna they will do 14.
So that, I mean, we're talking about 4 and 48 at that point.
Yeah.
Wait.
No.
4 and 62.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I'm the numbers guy, and I can't multiply.
4 and 56.
Yeah.
4 and 56.
Okay.
58. Wait, how much? How
99.
Much money is this?
Math is more fun.
I don't know how much money
morning.
This is.
If it gets up to 4 and 60, that feels to me like the upper limit of things.
Yeah. I think they're going to keep him. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say they're going to keep Andre Roberson. They would be so much worse without him.
I totally agree. I agree with that statement. I also don't feel like they're going to keep him. There's nothing about that with me that I can
Let's bet. We're shaking on it. We're shaking on this bet.
Just shook.
It's a bet. All right.
I can tell you at the trade deadline, I mean, some of the conversation was about, you know, we want to keep Andre Roberson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what the hugs were about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
From at John D. Bowers, Andre's mechanics are horrible. Why not have a shooting coach totally revamp his shot, especially his free throws? What is there to lose? I've heard that is happening this summer. So
hasn't that been happening? Haven't they been trying?
Apparently they're getting it on somebody
a
else.
A new one.
So whatever.
Didn't they try the same thing in Charlotte with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist?
Yeah.
And he just went back to his
He just
old form.
His form is that trick that your uncle does where he tries to pull a quarter from behind his ear. He tries to like fool people by pulling the basketball from behind his ear and then shooting it.
That's the trick.
That's the trick.
I mean, I had someone stop by my office and was just adamant that after game 4, Andre should have done nothing but shoot underhanded free throws.
Yeah.
From that point forward, everyone's kind of got their solution there.
Yeah.
Some of it is mechanics. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
That is a part of it. But like at the free throw line, you see him kind of put it up and it comes from various different angles when the release point is, and he's like falling backwards as the shot is going up. He needs to do like Dion and take a step to the right at the free throw line.
I'm of the mind that like it's not about mechanics.
It's a too high arcing shot too from the free throw line.
It is.
Maybe if they like had like a step stool where it went down into the arena and he could like step down 2 feet, then
that would work.
Let's see if we can get that approved.
But you have guys like Kevin Martin, terrible shot.
Yeah.
Sean Marion, who developed a more efficient shot. So I just don't think it's mechanics all the time. And I think what you do sometimes is you start to damage a player because he's thinking about every movement he's doing.
Right.
Dre,
and you can tell he's doing that.
It's all mental with Dre.
Yeah.
All of it is mental. And you know what? If he shot an underhand free throw and he missed them,
oh man.
How like he might be Andres Biedrin's, where Andres Biedrin's career was ruined at the free throw line.
Yeah,
really that was. Guy was really good. Like he was on his way to being a double double type player.
I wanted the Thunder to get him at one point.
He was good, but when everything went south at the free throw line, mentally he was gone, and then he was out of the league.
Yeah.
So I just please don't make Dre do embarrassing things that could lead to worse outcomes. I don't know. He can practice. If he does it in practice and he's shooting 80% or 90% in practice, great. Bring it to the court and hit, 60% or whatever. That would be fine. But if he's going to come out and he's going to miss granny shots, he's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
He's going to be destroyed. And Dre is a guy that is on Twitter and he's on all those things and he probably sees everything. And I mean, if the Rockets were laughing hard, then how hard are people going to laugh if he's bricking granny shots?
Right.
I don't know. That scares me.
They're going to bully him.
Last question from at @D_walk74. With the NBA's three best teams in the West, how far would the Thunder have gone in the Eastern Conference? I think they can make the conference finals. I think they can challenge. And at that point, we assume that they're on the opposite bracket of Cleveland, then they can beat Boston. They can beat the Wizards.
What I'm curious about, and this is probably going deeper than what he's asking. I mean, obviously 47 wins would put them a 5 seed in the East.
So they would be.
But let's say they played an Eastern Conference heavy schedule throughout the regular season, as opposed to playing in the West.
To 3 or something.
Yeah, I wonder if they would have got a few more wins and actually like been better than Washington.
Yeah. So if they get up there, let's just assume I assume that they could beat all those teams. They can't beat Cleveland. That's the only team they can't beat. So I think they could beat all those other teams. All those other teams are not that great. Toronto's not that great. Boston's not that great. Washington's bench is so awful. Even worse than the Thunder's, I think. So they can beat all those teams.
Memphis has got a bigger gripe than Oklahoma City, though. They should be in the Eastern Conference.
They really should.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really should. And that would have it would have been so much more interesting over the last 5 years. Obviously now it wouldn't be that much more interesting, but over the last 5 years, if Memphis was an Eastern Conference team, they would have made the conference finals a few times.
And then Minnesota's got the second most gripe after that. They should also be in the Eastern Conference. It's just everything's kind of bunched up on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yep. All right. Now that it's the off season, we're going to go back to the trade machine. You're not used to being able to talk over that.
No.
So we're trading our man Enes Kanter today.
Yay.
Who would like to be Sam Presti?
John.
Oh, John Wood. Me? Okay.
Okay.
Hang on. I got to go get a haircut. I'll be right back.
ring, 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 ring.
Greetings and salutations.
It's Rich Cho.
Rich.
Hi.
It is mostly enjoyable to speak with you again after your tenure in Oklahoma City for building our foundation for excellence.
Thanks for being my buddy, Sam. Okay, have
you talked to Rob lately?
Oh, no, man. I'm steering clear from Rob. He went off the deep end after that Oladipo trade, man.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of proud of that one. Go ahead. What you got?
So after the draft.
After the draft.
We would like to have Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and your first round pick, and we'll give you back Nick Batum.
Do you have to have Doug?
Yes.
Is it like, I mean, would you, because if I were you, I'd rather have Kyle Singler.
Well, the thing is,
Rich, have you looked at his defensive plus minus plus offensive production minus free throws times squared?
So here's the deal. My owner loves guys that were good in college. And whenever Michael Jordan looks at Doug, he sees Adam Morrison. And he thinks, I've got to have that guy.
You realize that Kyle Singler played in the ACC, right?
I do. But I'm telling you, MJ wants McBuckets.
I'm just telling you, like, Kyle is going to rise again like the Phoenix. And I kind of want you to have that experience. Whenever he...
That's it, Sam. Hanging up.
Rise like a phoenix. Kyle Singler is not a phoenix at all. If there's like one mythical
creature...
He's
the University of Phoenix, if he's anything.
Hey, that's a good joke, man. Oh, man. That's a good joke.
I would hesitate to give up McDermott in that trade. You talk about Kanter and that first-round pick for Batum... Yeah, but I feel like throwing in McDermott's a little too much.
Yeah. Batum would be great because he is a facilitator. He can shoot. He can defend. He plays the three. I mean, if you think about, if they keep Gibson and your starting lineup is Russ, Robertson, Batum, Gibson, and Adams, like that defense is stout.
And then they've got another guy.
And you bring, then you can bring off the bench. You can bring Abrines and Oladipo. I mean, that's a good team.
And this is another example of what we were talking about earlier. A guy like Nick Batum on this team, could have a significant impact. I know people are thinking next superstar and trying to assemble the next Golden State.
Right.
A guy like Nick Batum would help.
And he's a guy that can run a pick and roll.
Yeah.
So I like him. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello. Sorry, I had to put down my guitar. Hello.
Hey, Sam. It's Irvin.
Oh.
Magic.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Hello.
Wait a second. That was almost Billy King.
It was. I know. I'm trying my best.
I was just reading your Twitter account and having great fun. How are you, Mr. Johnson?
So, basketball is fun.
Do you agree with me, Sam? Yes, basketball is supposed to be fun.
And I think that Enes Kanter is fun. I think that Doug McDermott is fun. And I want to trade for him right now.
I wish we don't have Periscope today, but I wish you could see Andrew's face when he's
so happy.
About
I have to smile through happy. Every word. And we'll give you Timothy Mavgov and Jordan Clarkson for Enes Kanter. We'll take Kyle Singler off your hands. We've got a lot of tanks here in LA, and Doug McDermott.
Mr. Johnson, I'm so sorry. Your phone dropped off in the middle of that, and so I didn't hear any.
Where?
Hello.
Yeah. This is the most fun conversation I've ever had. I'm having so much fun.
I'm trying not to hang up on you, Mr. Johnson.
You don't like that trade?
No, oh, that Mozgov thing is poisonous.
It is poisonous. Jordan Clarkson. I was just like figuring out a way to get Jordan Clarkson on the team.
Yeah. He's good. I get it, but oh, that Mozgov deal is that's rank.
But here's the thing: it's not Mozgov; it's Mavgov.
Mavgov,
and it's Timothy. It's not the guy you're thinking of.
Oh, ring, 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 ring.
Ba-dum-tsh. Oh, hello. Sorry, I had to put down my drumsticks.
Sorry, I just made a joke and now I have to get off the drum set.
I was just talking about Tumbleson, one of my good jokes. And I got to ba-dum-tsh him. This is Ryan McDonough. You know what? I cannot believe I still have a job. How is this possible, Sam? I never thought that in summer 2017 that we'd be talking on the phone, but here we are. And I'm ready to make you an offer for Enes Kanter.
Okay. This is going to be a lot like that Kurt Thomas trade we made years ago, isn't it?
We'll see. Brandon Knight, Leandro Barbosa, and TJ Warren for Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott.
Thank you for your time and effort, Ryan, but I'm going to hang up on you now.
Oh, you just think Brandon Knight sucks like everybody else.
Oh, I'm not big on... And TJ Warren... is a guy that I really thought, wasn't he averaging like 18 points or something per game early on this season? And
yeah, he's good.
He's good.
TJ Warren's good. He's one of those guys that could be like a diamond in the rough type player.
Yeah, potentially. I mean,
he's like Aladdin.
But yeah, 26% from three.
That's not great. I mean, it's not the best. He shot 40% last season.
I mean, maybe OKC wants to start investing in mid-range. You know, maybe the three-point stuff is a little overrated.
Let's corner the market on the mid-range.
That's right. That's what San Antonio does.
I've got another offer, Sam. Jared Dudley, Barbosa, and TJ Warren for McDermott and Kanter.
I am highly intrigued by your trade proposal.
I think that'd be great, man.
I'm going to ask my advanced statisticians and my scouts and my coaching staff and my players and my PR staff and a couple of arena concession workers for their opinion. I just got it back. I think we'll do it.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
I like the idea of Dudley.
Dudley's good.
Yeah.
He can shoot. Barbosa, too. Like, Barbosa's another guy that can come off the bench and score, create his own shot a little bit.
How old is he now?
I don't know, like 50.
Yeah, I thought when he was at Golden State that it was surprising how
he's still good not,
he could play.
He's still not bad.
After, he tore an ACL, with Boston a few years ago?
And that seemed like he was done.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and he was playing in Brazil, right?
I think he might have.
He was playing professionally somewhere and not in the league. Yeah. And then came back to the league, and that's why everyone was like, I don't know.
He was 35% from three. I mean, he's fine. He probably wouldn't play a whole lot.
He would have helped out the Thunder in the playoffs this season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's 34. He's not a point guard, but he's not a point guard.
Right. He could make it work.
Yeah. And then TJ Warren, I think that he could be good. He doesn't fit the Thunder that well, but I think that it could work.
Oh, okay. Bye.
So our next segment is Miffed and Peeved, but it's sponsored by the Oklahoma Shirt Company. And
because we're so miffed off at them.
If there's something that you should never be miffed about, it's the Oklahoma Shirt Company. They do a shirt of the month. It's a Oklahoma-based shirt. It's something that they have been really successful with and something that you should be a part of too, because it's super soft shirts. They're really nice, good quality, and the designs are really good. So you should check out Oklahoma Shirt Company. They're on Twitter. They're on Instagram, on Facebook. Go check them out. Also, Oklahoma Shirt Company is going to make stickers for the Down to Dunk podcast, and they're going to be available very soon. And if you're at a live event, hey, we may even throw you a sticker. So you should come and get some Down to Dunk stickers.
We're going to be raining stickers on you.
We're going to be raining stickers. Go check out Oklahoma Shirt Company today. And I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is it? I'm all ears.
Are you guys miffed? And are you guys peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
I have a good one. Okay. Unless you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Yesterday, I was working. I missed a few calls, I realized. Looked at it. My brother called me. I called him back. He's like, hey, what's up? He's like, have you seen Mom's Instagram?
Whoa.
I said, no,
that's
why?
Not a great sentence.
I said, no, why? He said, just call me back. Get off. I see I have like 30 texts. I'm like, I don't have time. I'll go check Instagram. Go to my mom's Instagram. All of her pictures are gone. And there's like 9 pictures of women. Not fully nude, but
she was
definitely
hacked.
Scandalous.
No, she was, mom.
Tammy Dickerson was hacked.
Oh, no.
And I went to my text and all my friends were like, hey, I think your mom was hacked. Because these pictures are just posting on people's timelines.
Your mom just had a massive lifestyle change, Taylor.
Hey, I think your parents have to talk about something.
Taylor's mom has got it going.
That was also by Stained.
Yeah, that was a Stained.
So she was hacked. So all I talked about yet, anyone who walked up to me yesterday was like, hey, that's pretty funny about your mom, blah, 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 blah. And it's still up. I'm not going to tell you what the username is, but it's still up. And if you know my mom, it's very funny that it happened to my mom because whatever. So, yeah, that happened yesterday.
Wow.
She was hacked.
Wow. I typically don't get mad about NBA stuff that often because it's supposed to be something fun in my life. But there's this article on ESPN Insider that is just the absolute worst. Oh, and I'm trying to find... Okay, so Tom Haverstroh, big surprise, said something dumb about the Thunder. So he said... The question is, what else do you foresee and advise the Thunder this offseason? Mm. And here's what he said. Invest in three-point shooters. They buried Anthony Morrow on the bench and then traded him for Doug McDermott, who can barely get on the floor. They had Ersan Ilyasova and bailed on him 3 games into the season for Jeremy Grant, who doesn't shoot threes. As much as I appreciate the youth movement, they have to give Westbrook a reason to stay in 2018. So the reasons to stay in 2018 would clearly be Ersan Ilyasova, more Anthony Morrow,
yeah,
and then things would be much better, right? That's just absolute garbage. And McDermott played a lot toward the end of the series, and I think he's going to be a piece that'll play moving forward if they don't trade him. Jeremy Grant happened to have the highest three-point percentage of anybody on the team. I know he didn't shoot a lot. Ersan Ilyasova, man, I'm sorry, but if that's the guy that's convincing you to stay, then...
You're gone.
Then he's either gone or he was going to stay anyways.
Right.
Ersan Ilyasova is not a reason to stay. The Anthony Morrow thing, Anthony Morrow, he can't defend anybody. He can't get off the bench hardly for the Bulls.
Well, and you know that whole thing during the season, because I had to contend with, why aren't they playing Anthony Morrow throughout the season? Whenever the Thunder did give him consistent minutes, he still shot around like 30% from three.
Yeah. Yeah, he did not. Yeah, that was a weird thing this
season. That's when he got opportunities.
He did not shoot well this season. That just made me just furious. And Tom Haverstroh, like, he is a smart guy. Like, he is. But this
he's
is just
using
another
it
thing.
For evil.
This is just another thing where he's taking something out of context, without watching the team, and it's just, you know, surfing the internet and just saying, oh, here's one thing they could do. But you know what? That's just not right. And if you watched the Houston series, you would know that Jeremy Grant was very valuable. Mm-hmm. And who's Irsan Ilyasova going to defend on Houston?
Yeah, tell me. No one.
Yeah.
No.
And no. He might be able to shoot a little bit, but he's not. Those aren't difference makers. And it's just ridiculous that he would pull in guys like Anthony Morrow and Ilyasova and say, like, these are the difference makers. Like, I'm sorry, but that's, I don't know how you could come to that conclusion.
Then the other one in that article is Amin El Hassan.
Yes, he was brutal.
Here's this quote about, you know, whether the Thunder should be willing to pay Andre Robertson $15 million per season. Why pay $15 million a year for someone you can get for the veteran's minimum? Let me ask you. I mean, here's a veteran minimum guy like that Amin is talking about, DeAndre Liggins.
Yeah.
Would you rather have DeAndre Liggins or Andre Robertson?
It's just absolute garbage. Like, he can't shoot. Sure, he's not good at the free throw line. But if you watch, I mean, he was the second best player on the Thunder in the playoffs. His defense is super valuable, and he can be valuable offensively if he is in the right mindset. And I think that's the only argument. It's not that you could get this guy for the minimum, because that's just not even close to being true. So I don't know.
It's just how ridiculous. Many second team all defensive guys make the league minimum?
Not many,
if any.
What's Mbah Mute make?
He's probably a league minimum guy, but he's not making an all defensive team.
Yeah, he's probably the closest thing to that, though.
Yeah,
but there's not a lot of those guys out there. I think Mbah Mute could get paid.
But here's the thing about Mbah Mute: can you put him on James Harden effectively?
Right. Yeah. He can. Yeah. Right. You're right. He can't defend, and he's the same as Jeremy Grant. Right? Is that Mbah Mute and Jeremy Grant can defend threes and fours
right.
really well. There's just not a lot of guys like Robertson that can defend ones and twos and threes at an elite level.
And in this league that is moving to that, that's really emphasizing point guard and yes. perimeter play. I mean, that's where a guy like this has got value. So, anyway, there were so many hot takes in that
why
article.
Why is it cool to not like Oklahoma City?
I don't know. I actually had a friend that called me this week just furious and dropping F-bombs because of that exact question. Like, there's some reasons. I think part of it is that they don't think that we even deserve what we have is part of the conversation. It's just all madness, though.
It's all really weird because it's not like you're picking on the big guy, but you're not also just crapping on like this, you know, the 76. We're not the 76ers of 2 years ago either.
Right.
So it's just really weird.
Some of it's the style of play, too. They hate the style of play. They think that the coaching is stupid. They think that they're smarter than everybody in Oklahoma City.
They just go out of their way.
They think it's a cow town.
Out of their way to say something about it, though, you know?
Yeah. Super miffed about that. Anything else, guys?
Nothing important, no.
Follow us on Twitter at Down2Dunk. Email us at dtpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star iTunes review if you listen to this every week. Please do that. That would be very helpful. And have a great weekend.